Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are heading into a holiday weekend. First of all, hope you all have a safe, fun, exciting weekend lined up. Appreciate you guys taking the time to be here today, listening to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We've got a great episode lined up for you. We're going to be going over roster battles. It's kind of a continuation from yesterday's episode. Yesterday, we looked at, all right, who are the lead pipe locks to make the 53-man roster? Guys that we can say with a really high level of certainty, come September, barring injury, are going to be the core members of your 2024 Green Bay Packer team. That's what we did yesterday. Today, we're going to be breaking down where are all the rest of the battles taking place. And we're going to clearly look at the back of the 53-man roster, those spots that are still up for grabs. But we're also going to look at where there are battles for starting spots or a number two spot or a number three spot and those sort of things. So we're going to be going through the entirety of the roster and looking at all those different roster battles that we should be paying very close attention to through the remainder of this offseason. Before we get there, a couple quick notes. First of all, we hit 400 members on the YouTube channel. That is unbelievable. I cannot thank you guys enough. If you've been on the fence as to whether or not to sign up or not, today would be a great day to do so. Friday, we're having the members-only Q&A that'll take place at 3 p.m. Central on Friday. Also, the members-only video will launch on Friday as well, commercial-free. I think one of the best things is you get every episode as soon as it's done. And sometimes, a lot of times, that's at like 1 a.m. So it releases at 5 a.m. So it's not usually a huge difference, that great selling point, right? But sometimes they are done well in advance. Sometimes you get days 2-3, or episodes 2-3 days in advance. If you're a member, there's definitely an advantage there as well. And it's certainly something that we've got a lot of compliments on from our current members. But a huge shout out to all 400 of you that are currently signed up. Means the world. Appreciate you guys a ton. Meanwhile, from a Packers side of things, Packers signed Edrian Cooper, which leaves only two draft picks remaining, Javon Bullard, as well as Jordan Morgan. So only those two picks remain to get signed. They get Cooper done, like I've been talking about sort of forever now. These are not a huge deal. They're going to get done. There's some contract language that sometimes needs to get worked out with the second round picks that takes a little bit longer. But for the most part, these will get done. It's not worth worrying about or concerned about or anything like that. And we've seen that Green Bay's taken care of all of their deals except two, and I would expect Bullard and Morgan get done sooner rather than later. And that brings us to our last one before we get to our main topic, and that's Jordan Love's contract. And we're clearly not going to do a whole deep dive on this today. That would take a full episode. But what I do want to say is I've seen some conversation already of, oh, should we be nervous about this? Jordan Love doesn't have a contract done yet. Like, they've had the opportunity to get this done now and it's still not done. What should our level of concern be? My personal take, zero. Absolute zero. I give this about 3 months from today before you have to have any anxiousness about the contract whatsoever. I think they've got a good 90 days left to try to get this thing hammered out. And even then, it's more of a minor annoyance than anything else. I just don't necessarily think that you want this going too far past like the third preseason game where it could linger into the season where, all right, Jordan still doesn't have a contract. I actually, even in that situation, don't really think it affects the Packers. I don't even think it really affects Jordan Love. But what it does become is a narrative. Oh, Jordan's playing without a contract. When are they going to get this contract done? Contract. It just gets like played out. And it's just an annoyance. It's a distraction. And those are the things you want to avoid going into a season where there's all these positive vibes, all these things that are going very well for Green Bay. And you don't want that sort of hovering over everything as you go in to what should be a very exciting season. But I give this, again, a full another 3 months before I have any level of annoyance, concern, anything like that. And I think it just gets done before then. I don't think there's any reason to be nervous at this point. So I will bring this back up in about 3 months if it's not done by that point. Otherwise, I think it's only an issue if you want to make it an issue. And I don't see any reason to make it an issue. I don't see any reason to get anxious or nervous over it. Jordan Love is going to be a Packer for the foreseeable future. And they're going to hammer this contract away. They're going to get it done. This is a complex contract. These situations do not come along very often whatsoever. Green Bay is seemingly about the only team that can pull this off, where you take over for the franchise guy, you look good in your very first year, and then you need to get a new deal done. And Green Bay's in that scenario again, like they sort of were with Aaron Rodgers. They're now in that scenario with Jordan Love, but there's not a ton of precedence league-wide for these sort of situations happening. I'm sure Jordan Love and his agent are saying, hey, we want to be top five quarterback, maybe more. He's certainly better than Jared Goff, and Jared Goff just got paid. And I'm sure the Packers are saying, whoa, like we saw half a season. We need to be a little bit cautious on our end too. And that's what's going to make this a little bit tricky to get completed, but it'll get completed. Jordan Love and his agency, great at what they do. Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, the Packers, great at what they do. They'll figure it out. Like I said, 0% concerned at this point in time. And my advice, if you want to take it, if not, no worries. But my advice would be to not worry about it at all at this point either. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today, and that is these roster battles. And again, we're going to go position by position and just sort of label where there's competition and what jobs are up for grabs. We'll start at quarterback. We know QB1, that's an easy one, but this backup quarterback job, Sean Clifford versus Michael Pratt. The first thing here is there's a legitimate number two quarterback battle, at least in theory. As I mentioned at OTA number one, I personally felt like Sean Clifford was a good step ahead of Michael Pratt. Sean Clifford should be a good step ahead of Michael Pratt. He's had a full season within the offense. You know, he's a year further along in his development. Like, Sean Clifford should be ahead. And I don't expect Michael Pratt to be like, oh my goodness, day one of OTAs. Go around the league, by the way, and listen to some of the stuff from, you know, McCarthy in Minnesota, Caleb Williams in Chicago, Bo Nix in Denver. Like, these first few days of OTAs, they're struggles. It's hard for these quarterbacks as rookies to come in, get the playbook down. It's just head spin city. Your head's going crazy trying to digest all of the stuff that's going on. And then at the pace that it's coming at an NFL level, it's, you know, near impossible for Michael Pratt to even come in and be like, yep, you know, I'm ready to compete with Sean Clifford, much less anything else. You know, just remember Jordan Love. You know, Jordan Love obviously in 2020 had the whole COVID situation, but even when he came back in 2021, that first offseason was still a major work in progress. And those first OTAs were still, you know, sketchy at best. So it'll take time for Michael Pratt, but I still think Michael Pratt has every opportunity to go win that number two QB job. I think that should be in his sights. And let's be real, if he wants to earn a 53-man roster spot for sure, he kind of needs to beat out Sean Clifford. No, maybe they could keep three, and that's what our next sort of conversation topic here is at the quarterback position. But if we're sticking on the number two, you know, that is something that Pratt's got to shoot for if he wants that guaranteed spot. You know they're going to keep two QBs. That goes without saying. Number three, that's a little bit trickier, but I do think Pratt will be in the conversation. Let's give him a little time to let things play out. I want to see what he looks like more come preseason time. Even family night, we'll see. And obviously, even preseason, we're not making any long-term judgments on Michael Pratt. But if we're talking about who's going to enter the season as the number two quarterback, well, then yes, it's going to be, you know, the onus is going to be on Michael Pratt in those preseason games to show, hey, I think I can be better than this Sean Clifford guy. But right now, Sean Clifford clearly ahead, and that's going to be the battle for number two. And then let's just say, well, whoever it is, whoever does not win that job, then has to prove to the Packers that they are worth keeping as a number three quarterback. That, hey, if you cut me, you know, some other team's going to claim me. Or in that situation, if you're Michael Pratt or Sean Clifford, you want to easily earn that number three spot, or you want to have enough value or some other team is trading for you that they know they're going to give you a 53-man roster spot, or at worst that you get claimed. So those guys are fighting not only with themselves for the number two, number three spot, but then with the other players on the roster that are those fringe 53 guys to say, hey, keep me, I have more value. And then even if they do get released, they're fighting with every other quarterback that's playing in preseason to try to get claimed and picked up to be on a 53-man roster somewhere. So that's what those guys are going to be fighting through. I think it should be a very, very fun battle. I would right now, again, put Sean Clifford pretty solidly ahead in the driver's seat. But again, let's give Michael Pratt some time and see what he can do. Let's go to running back. Clearly, Josh Jacobs is going to be number one. So our first order of business here is the number two running back spot. To me, this is a two-man race. This is A.J. Dillon versus Marshawn Lloyd. And we saw Dillon get the first reps with the team drills with Josh Jacobs sort of nursing that hamstring injury at day two of OTAs that was open to the media. But clearly, this is going to be a battle. And we've already heard from the Packers coaching staff that they'd like to get Marshawn Lloyd out there as much as possible. Marshawn Lloyd is going to have a different brand of football than A.J. Dillon is bringing to the table. He's a more explosive player. He has the ability to go, take it to the house at any given moment. But he also has to work on his pass pro, and he's also got to work on hanging on to the football. But that should be a true, legitimate battle for that number two job. And it could be different, too. Let's assume that A.J. Dillon and Marshawn Lloyd both make the roster. We could have a situation where it could be based on the game, meaning some games A.J. Dillon could be more beneficial and some games Marshawn Lloyd could be more beneficial. That could be within the realm of possibility as well. But I think the first battle here is for that number two spot. And then that determines the number three, because let's be clear, if A.J. Dillon wins the number two running back job, Marshawn Lloyd is not losing the number three running back job, meaning Marshawn Lloyd is a lock to make the team as a third round pick at running back. He's not going anywhere. If you're an Emmanuel Wilson, if you're a, Ellis Merriweather, if you're a Jarvion Howard, one of those type of guys, you're hoping that it's A.J. Dillon that's the number three and that's potentially expendable, because if Dillon wins the two, Marshawn Lloyd is not expendable. It makes it that you have to make the team as a number four running back, which is far less likely, especially if they want to keep a third quarterback or an extra offensive lineman or a seventh wide receiver or something like that. So that first battle at running back between Lloyd and Dillon for number two, then if Lloyd wins the number two and we know Lloyd's going to get one of the spots, then that number three spot goes between A.J. Dillon, Emmanuel Wilson, Jarvion Howard, and Ellis Merriweather. I still, as I mentioned yesterday, I think A.J. Dillon is extremely likely here, not completely a lock, but it's going to be up to Wilson, Howard, and Merriweather to put seeds of doubt in Brian Gutekunst's mind to say, hey, maybe we should keep this guy, or hey, maybe this guy is closer to A.J. Dillon than we thought, and the difference in contract, in age, in controllable seasons is going to be the differentiating factor, not just the fact that Dillon is slightly better maybe than one of the other guys. But Dillon probably the better back. Dillon probably gets that number three job. And then the question would become, does Green Bay have any appetite to keep a number four? Emmanuel Wilson, probably being the leader in the clubhouse there, would have to really put on a show to say, all right, we can't let that guy go either. And even when we've seen promising performances from a player like a Tyler Goodson in preseason, they still didn't go in that direction. So it's going to take quite a bit from an Emmanuel Wilson or a Jarvion Howard or an Ellis Merriweather to get in that conversation. But I do think there is at least a conversation to be had there at that number three running back spot, assuming that it's not Marshawn Lloyd, because again, he's just going to win a spot no matter what. But that's where we're probably at running back right now. What a week in sports we just witnessed. Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut. The Celtics, Pacers, T-Wolves, and Mavs all advanced to their conference finals. The Stars, Panthers, and Rangers advanced in the NHL playoffs. And the PGA Championship was an epic final Sunday, and I'm sure I'm missing about 1,000 other things. This week, we get an epic Canucks-Oilers Game 7, and the conference finals will kick off in both the NHL and NBA, so basically, it's going to be amazing. But it could be more amazing with Prize Picks. This playoff season, add to the excitement by utilizing Prize Picks star players. Starred players on the board could earn you a 10% payout boost if they are in your winning lineup. And it's easier than ever to get started with quick withdrawals, easy deposits, simple gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types. It's why Prize Picks is the number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Connor McDavid, Miles Turner, and Breanna Stewart in the WNBA. I get excited every time I make my selections, and this week is going to be no different. And of course, as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, anybody who knows me well knows that I don't get stressed out very easily. I'm able to handle most situations and events and limit nervousness and anxiety. That was not always the case, however. In college, I had bills piling up, tuition to pay, poor credit, and I just recently lost a job as well. I had no idea how important credit was, how credit worked, and I had next to no credit history. Let's just say my stress level was at an all-time high. I wish College Andy had access to Kickoff, the fastest, easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit. It would have saved me a bunch of worries and certainly some sleepless nights. I recently discovered Kickoff online. It was so easy to sign up and get started. I quickly noticed an improvement in my credit score, and the entire process was so simple and hassle-free. If you're unfamiliar with Kickoff, it's time to get up to speed. Kickoff is a smart, legit credit hack with no catch and no credit check. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up within minutes on your phone and start building credit right away. You simply use AutoPay to build credit while you sleep, and you get the added benefit of never having to worry about missing a payment. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there, and what really sold me was that they have over 100,000 positive reviews, and 98% of them are 5 stars. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Sign up today and get your first month for a dollar at getkickoff.com/packaday. That's Kickoff without a C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only, subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/packaday. Terms of offer are subject to change. Wide receiver. Listen, we could have a conversation at some point between who's number 1, 2, 3, and 4. I just think all four of those guys are going to see the field, meaning Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks. All four of those guys are going to rotate in and out of the lineup. They're all going to play. They're all going to play a lot. I don't know that we need to dissect who's number one, who's number two, because the truth is there is no number 1, 2, 3, or 4. They're all going to be used in different scenarios and in different spots based on matchups, based on what the game plan calls for. So I don't really see it as a 1 through 4 there. Number 5 is a bit different, and number 5 is a bit different in large part because it's who's active on game day and who's not. And at the end of last year, we saw Bo Melton be active, and we did not see Malik Heath get activated on game days. So that's why that number 5 spot matters a little bit more. I think that's a 2-man race. I think it's 95% Bo Melton and maybe 5% Malik Heath. I really don't think that Samori Toure, Grant Dubose, Alex Magoo, Julian Hixer, Dimitri Stanley are going to get in that number 5. I just don't see them beating out a Bo Melton. Like I said, maybe a Malik Heath could, but I'm going to say that number 5 is just between Melton and Heath. And then let's say that does go to Melton, which is by far in a way the more likely scenario. Then you get into that number 6 spot. And that's where then Malik Heath, Samori Toure, Grant Dubose, Alex Magoo, Julian Hixer, and Dimitri Stanley will fight for that spot. Could they keep a 7th wide receiver? Sure. If they really like Dubose or one of the undrafted guys and Alex Magoo, Samori Toure, they could keep a 7th. If they felt it was worth it, if they felt like one of those guys was going to get claimed, absolutely. But then again, keeping 3 quarterbacks, keeping an extra offensive lineman, those things become a lot tougher. So you're going to still have to do some roster math to figure out how that works. I think it's more likely that they keep 6. And I think it's more likely than not that it's the 6 that we think. The 4 main ones, Melton at 5 and Heath at 6. But I can tell you already, Samori Toure is not going to go down without a fight. He had a big touchdown in practice on OTAs that was open the other day. Grant Dubose still certainly going to be in that conversation. Then we'll see if anyone else can get in that conversation. We know every single year there's going to be some undrafted wide receiver that everyone falls in love with. We'll see if that remains the same this upcoming season and offseason. But that'll be fun to look at. And then we know too that special teams, especially at that number 6 spot, could play a major role there as well. So if Samori Toure, a Grant Dubose, a Malik Heath, Magoo, Hicks, Stanley, if one of those guys could really stand out from a special team standpoint, that would certainly give him a leg up on the potential to get that number 6 spot. But I think in all likelihood, it goes sort of chalk here with the top four, Melton and Heath. And then maybe you could keep a seventh if you really, really liked something that one of the other receivers did through the, you know, basically the entirety of the offseason. Tight end, I think, you know, one and two, Musgrave and Kraft, we don't really need to talk about here. They're both going to play a ton, both rotate a bunch. Again, probably more dependent upon matchups, mismatches, and who they're playing against, what the game plan calls for. But we don't, I think, need to, you know, really go through that in detail. I think the first one is Ben Sims versus Tyler Davis for the number three spot. Tyler Davis is a core special teamer. Ben Sims, I think, is just a much better, much might be aggressive, but a better overall tight end. He's a better blocking tight end, and I do think he has a little bit of juice after the catch as well. I think he can still provide more as a receiving threat than what he got the opportunity to present a season ago, just because that's not really what they asked him to do. Tyler Davis does have some receiving chops. He's not a great blocker, but he is a big-time special teams player. So I still think number three is probably Ben Sims, but I do think Tyler Davis can get his name in that conversation. And then it's up to Joel Wilson and Messiah Swinson. Yes, Messiah Swinson. Yesterday I called him Messiah Wilson. My apologies for that. But Messiah Swinson and Joel Wilson to see if they can, you know, really step up and get their name in that conversation. But this is probably more Sims versus Davis at three. Sims probably wins. And then it's, do we want to keep Tyler Davis as a four, or are we okay with just going with three tight ends on the roster? And the big question here will be, are you okay with letting go of Tyler Davis, who was a core special teamer two seasons ago when he was the most played special teams player on the roster? They missed him a season ago. He would project to be another core special teamer this year. Maybe they just release him, put him on the practice squad, and call him up when needed. But that, I think, is the conversation as to whether or not they want to keep Tyler Davis as that number four, unless Joel Wilson or Messiah Swinson get their name in that conversation. Offensive line, we talked yesterday about the roster locks that were out there. The, you know, your five starters, Jordan Morgan and Jacob Monk, are being the seven guys that are locks. The five returning starters from a season ago, I'll put it that way. So those are your, kind of your seven that I think are locks here. They could keep anywhere from 9 to 11 offensive linemen. So that means there's 2 to 4 spots available. And those 2 to 4 spots will go somewhere between Andre Dillard, Royce Newman, Caleb Jones, Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings. And then I think a step down would be Kadeem Telfort and Lasita Smith. Those would probably be what you're kind of looking at. So out of Dillard, Newman, Jones, Glover, and Jennings, you've got anywhere from 2 to 4 spots for probably those five guys. You know, Newman, we've talked about the contract is going to be something that they're going to have to fix if he wants to stay on the team. I don't think there's any real chance that he could stay on the team with that contract. This is probably, Luke Tenuta on here as well. I think I missed putting him on there, but yeah, so 2 to 4 spots between Dillard, Royce Newman, Caleb Jones, Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings, and Luke Tenuta. So of those six, you're looking to keep 2 to 4. Now, good offensive linemen are hard to find. Andre Dillard, they obviously saw something in that they wanted to bring him in as a vet backup, and they started him in OTAs the other day. Royce Newman got opportunities to play with the starters. Caleb Jones and Luke Tenuta, they've put two seasons into of developing those two players. Travis Glover, they just put a 6th-round pick into. And Donovan Jennings, they gave over $100,000 in signing bonus money and in guaranteed money as an undrafted free agent. As I mentioned, offensive linemen, anywhere near good ones are hard to find, and you always want to kind of be developing those. So I think at least three of those guys end up on the roster, and it wouldn't shock me if they tried to keep four, but keeping 11 offensive linemen is a tough task. And again, then we start talking about, did you want to keep a fourth running back, a fourth tight end, a third quarterback, a seventh wide receiver? If so, well, keeping 10 to 11 offensive linemen becomes a whole heck of a lot tougher. But they're going to have a lot of great competition along the offensive line. They've got some good bodies. They've got some players that they've tried to develop. I'm excited to see who comes away with those roster spots, but there's going to be stiff competition at all of those spots. And then from a, not just a like final roster standpoint, but a starting standpoint, we know two of the starters. We know Elton Jenkins and Zach Tom are starting. I think it's probably extremely likely that Josh Myers is your starting center, but we did see Elton get a little bit of time there. But I think at left tackle, you're probably talking either Jordan Morgan or Rashid Walker starting at left tackle. I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't one of those two players. at left guard, either Elgton Jenkins or Jordan Morgan, I would think would be your starter at left guard. At center, either, and when I say that, I'm not saying Jordan Morgan would take Elton's spot. It would be that Elton moves to one of these other spots, which we're going to talk about right now. At center, either Josh Myers, Elgton Jenkins, or Zach Tom. Maybe Jacob Monk could get his name in that conversation, but he's going to have to do some heavy lifting very, very fast to get his name in that conversation. Right guard, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom, or Elgton Jenkins. I think all could start at that spot. And at right tackle, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, or Rashid Walker would be the potential starters there. But like I said, Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom will be starting. The other three spots probably up for grabs, and probably between Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Josh Myers, and, Sean Ryan, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, and Rashid Walker would be the other one. All right, interior defensive line. This is probably the easiest one, right, that we're going to discuss. The five guys are locks, you know, in my opinion. Maybe Wooden could get his name on that bubble a little bit more, but Wooden, Brooks, TJ Slayton, Kenny Clark, and Devontae Wyatt, all five of those guys are going to make the 53. And then I don't think they're going to keep a sixth. I just don't, not necessarily in this defense when you're going with, you know, more of a 4-3 defense. And you also have an LVN who can kick inside if need be. So I don't think you're going to keep a sixth, but if you're Jonathan Ford, Spencer Waggie, or James Esther, you're hoping for a sixth spot. And I think it would probably have to be a Jonathan Ford that would really have to earn that spot. And remember, he did make the initial 53 last year, but then they released him very quickly after as they made some corresponding roster moves. And then he spent the entire time on the practice squad. But he was close. He was close to making the 53, a season ago. Just had it not been for some other roster moves they ended up making, he would have. But they're going to, you know, he's going to have to show that he is worth keeping as a sixth defensive lineman. And that's going to be, I think, a tough sell. You know, they may need an injury to one of those top five if any of these guys are going to try to get on the active roster. All right. Edge rusher. I think the question really here is, do they keep a fifth? I think they probably do, but that's probably the question mark here. We know Rashawn's going to have a spot, Preston, Kingsley and Igbari, and LVN. Now, if you want to talk starters or things like that, this is another one, kind of like the top four wide receivers. I don't really care. Like, Gary is going to be a starter. Preston's probably going to be a starter. But those two, LVN and Enigbare, are all just going to play a lot of snaps. So I don't really care all that much, but it's probably going to be Gary and Preston that are your quote-unquote starters. But then it's the number five. And if there are more than four edge rushers, I don't think there's more than five. But Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, Keyshawn Banks, Deslin Alexander, and Kenneth Odomegwu are the five that are likely fighting for one spot on the active roster. And I would think that that probably comes down to Brenton Cox or Keyshawn Banks. I think those two would be your leaders as of right now. Off-ball linebacker, a lot of battles here. First of all, who's in your 4-3 base? Is it? It's going to be three of Quay, Cooper, Hopper, and McDuffie, with Quay and Cooper being extremely likely. And then is it McDuffie or Hopper who gets that other spot in 4-3? In nickel, you're probably keeping, you know, two of Quay. Well, Quay, I think, is going to be one no matter what. So then the other spot is either going to go to Cooper, Hopper, or McDuffie. So which of those three get the spot next to Quay Walker? Is there a world in which Quay could lose it? Maybe, but I don't really see that happening. So those three will fight it out to see who plays next to Quay. And then in dime, do you go with Quay, or does Edrian Cooper maybe push for that specific spot? That's, I think, another potential roster battle there. And then you get into the number five linebacker, which is between Eric Wilson, Christian Welch, Christian Young, and Raylan Goforth. Wilson probably the leader here because of special teams, but Christian Welch is a core special teamer as well. And then the question would be, do they keep six linebackers? And if so, Eric Wilson and Christian Welch, the two leaders there, but don't rule out Christian Young. When I went through and watched all the players, there was like 12 players or 15 players, I forget what it was, of, you know, that nobody's ever really watched or talked about or heard of, whatever. Christian Young was, I think, my favorite of those 12 or however many players that I watched at the bottom of the roster that I thought maybe there's something there. So keep an eye on Christian Young, but Eric Wilson and Christian Welch would have a leg up, I think, on either Christian Young or Raylan Goforth. Corner. The first one is number two corner, Carrington Valentine versus Eric Stokes. Who wins that? Slot corner, Keyshawn Nixon, Javon Bullard, and Evan Williams. Maybe all could play a little bit in the slot. I expect that to be Keyshawn Nixon, but maybe Bullard and Williams could get their name in the conversation. The remaining cornerback spots, Corey Ballantyne, Robert Rochelle, Kalen King, Zion Gilbert, and Gemin Green, probably those five fighting for two spots, maybe one, but probably two, with Corey Ballantyne an extremely likely player to be added as the number five corner there. And then Kalen King versus Robert Rochelle, maybe a Zion Gilbert or a Gemin Green to potentially take up that number six spot. Not a guarantee that they would have to keep six, but I think likely that they would keep six, and Ballantyne is the five and Kalen King is the six is probably your most likely situation. But I do think King has some, you know, some work to do, especially needing to show that he can play some special teams if he's going to own that number six corner spot. And then at safety, you know, we know McKinney's going to be number one. So really numbers two, three, and four are going to be some form of Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Ketan Oladapo, and Anthony Johnson Jr. And I think any of those four guys could slot in number two, three, or four. But we know McKinney's going to be one. And then at that number five and number six safety spot, depending on how many they want to keep, you've got probably Anthony Johnson Jr., Benny Sapp III, Zane Anderson, and Tyler Coyle fighting for one, maybe two spots, but probably just one. This is another one where special teams is going to be huge. Anthony Johnson Jr. is going to have to show he can be a big-time player on special teams, because Benny Sapp III and Zane Anderson are big-time core special teamers. And if Green Bay does want to keep those extra safeties past your three rookies and Xavier McKinney, special teams could be the name of the game, and it could go to one of those guys just based on their special teams prowess. Or again, they could potentially keep six safeties here as well. We know basically the other ones. Kicker is going to right now be between Anders Carlson, Greg Joseph, and Jack Podlesny, but other kickers could get their name in the conversation. We'll see if, you know, maybe they sign one of the UFL guys once that season is done. And then long snapper, you've got Matt Orzech and Peter Bowden. Those two guys will fight for that long snapper spot as well. So really, battles all around the roster. Defensive line is probably the least one to watch, but everything else has a lot of battles either at the who's going to start level, or who's going to be the backups, or who's going to make the team. I think all of these positions are super intriguing. And like I said, kind of yesterday, this should make for a very fun offseason to watch all these battles progress and see who ultimately takes the step, grabs the proverbial lame cliche bull by the horns, and owns that spot and takes it and runs with it. And hopefully becomes, you know, all these guys can, you know, really take a step and become core players for these Green Bay Packers that will need every piece of depth through the course of the season, because we know that this is a war of attrition and we know it's a long season and you're going to need all of these guys at some point during the course of the year. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you again for joining. Thank you to the 400 Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube members that are out there. You could become 401 right now. So go do that. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack-O.